You turn back to the Epistle to the Hebrews in chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13. We come to the close of another year. It's a time, isn't it, when we often reflect, when we look back, when we remember. We look back on a number of things. We might look back this year, many will be, on important political events. Some look back on important sporting events. We may look back ourselves over goals that we hope to achieve. Some we have and some we may not have. Whatever the reason, we often look back and remember at this time of the year. You notice here in Hebrews 13, the word remember is mentioned at verse 3 and also verses 7 and 8. Read there at verse 7. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that verse calls us to remember. It's a fact of life, you know, some of us are very aware of this, that as you grow older, you tend to spend more time reminiscing, looking back, remembering, you know, how things were back in the olden days. It can be helpful, but it can also be a hindrance. It's possible that Christians may spend too much time, for instance, remembering past sins, past failures. God's forgiven them. God has forgotten them. Our sins and iniquities he remembers no more. But sometimes Christians, rather like a dog with a bone, we keep digging them up to make sure they're still there. And they tend to look worse each time you look at them. And that can have a crippling effect upon our lives as Christians, because we're carrying a burden which Christ has already borne for us. He bore it for us at Calvary, where he dealt with our sins once and for all. But I don't think that was the problem with most of the Hebrew Christians that are addressed here in this letter. What were they remembering? Well, they were remembering particularly the religion of their fathers, Judaism. They were being called to return to the way of their forebearers and turn back from the Christian faith. Some were wavering. Some indeed had already turned back. We can understand why that religion that they'd been brought up with its forms and ceremonies, its earthly temple and its high priest, and the sacrifices was beginning to lure them back from the faith. It was not helpful at all to these believers to remember and to begin to long for Judaism again. It was having a negative effect upon them. It was destroying their peace, their joy in Christ. There were, however, things in their past which to remember would be a real blessing to them, would be a help to them in their Christian pathway. And the writer calls them here to remember those church leaders who had spoken to them in the past. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. When you begin to read that verse, you have the impression initially that those who rule over you, the leaders of the church mentioned here, were still alive. But I think the end of the verse suggests that here were leaders who had now passed away from the scene of time. He says, considering the outcome of their conduct. He's speaking of men who had gone before, men who hadn't apostatized, men who hadn't turned back from following Christ, men who hadn't returned to Judaism. And notice what it is that they're called to remember and follow. It's not the gifts that these men had. It's not their engaging personalities if they had them. Neither is it their undoubted idiosyncrasies, those odd character traits which we all have. Even you have them, and I'm sure you know that I do as well. It's not those things that are follow, it's their faith. Whose faith follow. That faith which we read of back at 11 and verse 1, which is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. Here were men who had walked by faith. Here were men who had laid hold of the invisible God, who had believed his word, and who had sought to live consistent lives. And what an example they had been to these Hebrew Christians. Here were men who really cared for them, who watched over them, and who sought to direct and guide them with the word of God. Consider them, they're told, consider them. Especially consider the outcome of their conduct. I take that to mean consider their exit from this world. They died full of faith. They died in peace. They died with a glorious expectation, with a peace and joy in their hearts, not of this world. In other words, they not only taught these Hebrew Christians to live, they showed them how to live, and they showed them how to die. John Wesley used to say, our people die well. That's the reality of a living faith. There's great blessing in remembering those who have helped and nurtured us in the Christian faith, isn't there? I don't know if I've got any Welsh blood in my veins, but I always enjoy the company of Welsh brethren. It's great to have Hal Roberts amongst us, isn't it, week by week, and to hear him talk of the things of God. I remember once attending a minister's conference many years ago in Wales. It was an English-speaking one, by the way. I can't speak Welsh. But there we are. There was an aging minister there, and he kept talking about departed ministers. And as he spoke of them, he said of each one, of blessed memory, of blessed memory. These men who had gone before. Now, it's possible, I think, thinking of this particular man, it's quite likely there was a bit of nostalgia in all of this. But there's no doubt, is there, as you look back over your Christian life, you can think of men and women too in your Christian pathway who have been a real blessing to you. They made a great impression upon you, a godly impression. I mentioned before, but it's something that really sticks with me. I remember being at the bedside of a dear brother in Christ years ago, an elder of the church where I then attended, and he was riddled with cancer. He was emaciated. He could hardly speak. In fact, he couldn't speak because the cancer had affected his throat. And I was trying to find out how he was, and he had his Bible open before him on the bed, and he pointed to 2 Corinthians 4:16-17. You know what it says there? It says, therefore we do not lose heart, even though our outward man is perishing, yet the inward man is being renewed day by day. For our light affliction is but for a moment, is working for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. And I can tell you, there was a sermon, if ever there was one, without a word being spoken, as I looked at that man and I saw his faith in the word of the living God. Consider the outcome of their conduct. Sometimes it's our own fathers who have an impact upon us. Some of you will know a great missionary to the South Sea Islands called John Payton. He was a missionary to the New Hebrides, and he gives in his biography a very moving account of how his father accompanied him as he began his journey to go from a little village called Torthorwald near Dumfries, and he's walking up to Glasgow to begin his studies there to go out as a missionary. And he walked with his father for several miles, and the time came when they had to part. And this is what he says. He says, we halted on reaching the appointed place. He grasped my hand firmly for a minute in silence, and then solemnly and affectionately said, God bless you, my son. Your father's God prosper you and keep you from evil. And then he walked away. And John Peyton tells us he watched his father disappear into the distance through tears. And then he tells us a little later, he says, in my early years, particularly when exposed to many temptations, his parting form came before me as that of a guardian angel. The memory of that scene by God's grace helped, he says, to keep me from prevailing sins and stimulated me in my studies. Whose faith follow? Whose faith follow? Well, it's not just John Peyton who's to remember godly counsel from his father. We all are. Whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. Consider these things, we're told. Consider these things. Think about them. Remember these spiritual mentors that you've known down through the years. Those Christians who mean so much to you. Consider them this morning. How did they live? How do they live? Now, I don't know who might have made an impression upon you in your Christian life, but I know this of such people. They did not just talk about the life of faith. They were people, whether men or women, who lived the life of faith. They were the ones who made an impression upon you, and that is why they made such an impression upon you. And the message to us is now you live the life of faith as well. There's a message to these Hebrews. Don't turn back. Don't give up. Persevere. We're not to idolize men. We're not to put men on a pedestal. We're not to make gods out of them. But we may surely thank God for such people. Men and women of faith. Those who have been examples to us of what it really means to live the life of faith. Remember, we're told here, remember. Notice, it's an imperative. It's an imperative. It's a command. It's not a suggestion. Remember. But don't just remember. Don't just remember. Having remembered them, do not forget to follow them. To follow them as they followed Christ. Remember those who rule over you, who have spoken the word of God to you, whose faith follow, considering the outcome of their conduct. So we're to remember those who've gone before. Of course, one of the dangers as we do so is that it can lead to a distorted view of the present if we're not careful. We may look around and say, well, you know, where are the likes of such men today as we once knew? Again, something you tend to do as you get older. We miss these people. We say with the psalmist, don't we, in Psalm 12 and verse 1, help, Lord, for the godly man ceases. For the faithful disappear from among the sons of men. And as the years go by, people we look up to, people we esteem highly in the Lord, pass away. This may well have been one of the things which was causing problems for these Hebrew believers long ago. There they were under sustained pressure to return to Judaism. And they now missed the counsel, the help, the encouragement of these men who had gone before, who had taught them the things of God. The example of these leaders in the church who were now no longer with them. We all have this tendency to lean on men, to rely on men. And quite often it's something you don't realize until they're not here anymore. And then you realize you were leaning on them. For some Christians, it really rocks their faith. As these people who have mentored them in the past are taken away. This may have been part of the problem with these Hebrews. Well, if it was, the writer knows the remedy. It's to realize that although men of faith may be removed from this scene, the one in whom their faith rested will never be removed. In fact, is always with them. So we come to verse 8. You knew we were going to verse 8, didn't you? Surely, probably the most well-known verse in the Epistle to the Hebrews. It brings us to the one who's the sum and substance, really, of the whole epistle. We read, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. That's a glorious statement, isn't it? It sets before us the immutability of our Lord and Saviour. You notice that the next verse gives a warning about not being carried away with various and strange doctrines. See, there were false teachers then, as now, who would have led them astray. There were, as we've seen, the memory of these faithful men, these men who had led them in the faith, now departed. But in between the two stands this impregnable rock, this impregnable rock, Jesus Christ. He's the one who we must never take our eyes off, but continually look to, Jesus Christ. He remains unchanged, unchanging. Good men are taken from us. Evil men would lead us astray. And the enemy comes along and tells us, give up. There's no great leaders left in the church today. How do we overcome his insinuations? Well, here's how to quench every fiery dart of the evil one. It's to look to Jesus Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You see, we begin to falter. We begin to waver. We begin to lose heart. We begin to get despondent. We begin to be full of unbelief rather than faith when we forget Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that being so, the Christ of glory, the eternal Word, the Son of God, can supply all our needs today, can't he? He can raise up mighty preachers of the word today, can't he? He can, you know. He can keep us from falling into error. He can keep us from being led astray by false teaching. He can help us not to be taken in by clever men who corrupt God's word. And all those fears that we have of tomorrow are all unfounded when we look to Christ. He's the same forever. He's our helper. He's our fortress. He's our rock. He's our refuge. He will never leave us nor forsake us. And when we come to die, he'll be with us. We'll be able to say with David, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a magnificent statement. What a stunning declaration, isn't it? It's the answer to those who would try and detract from his glorious person. It's the answer to those who would tell us, well, he was just a prophet. What prophet has ever been the same yesterday, today, and forever? I can't think of any anyway. If you know of one, tell me at the end. Here is the eternal Son of God. As we know from this epistle, he's the one whom all the angels worship, who in the beginning laid the foundation of the earth. He's the brightness of the Father's glory, the express image of his person. Indeed, he upholds all things by the word of his power. Here's the one who has loved us, if we're Christians, with an everlasting love, who covenanted in eternity to save us. Fix your eyes on Jesus Christ. He's the all-sufficient Savior. He's not just a prophet. He's the prophet. He's the prophet. And not only our prophet, but our prophet priest and our King. He's God blessed forever. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And here's the answer to that temptation that these Hebrew Christians had to be drawn away back to the shadows and the types of Judaism, or by strange doctrines, or by strange false teaching. for this reason. If Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, so is the word of his mouth. So is the faith which was once for all delivered to the saints, that which the Hebrew Christians had believed, which they had received from the apostles. The apostles were those men, of course, who the risen Christ had appointed and sent forth with his word, that word that's steadfast and sure, that word that's not to be added to or taken away from. It's to be held to, it's to be believed. It's to be contended for, as Jude tells us, the faith once for all delivered to the saints. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, and so is his word. The word's under attack today. There's no new novel teaching to be discovered in the word of God. Listen to these words of the Prince of Preachers, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. He said this long ago, and he'd say the same if he were here today in the 21st century. He says, theology has nothing new in it except that which is false. That's good, isn't it? Theology has nothing new in it except that which is false. The preaching of Paul must be the preaching of the minister today. There is no advancement here. You may advance in the knowledge of the word of God, but it ever stands the same. The reason is, of course, it's God's word. It's perfect. It's sure. It's steadfast. It's settled in heaven. It's always up to date because it's the word of the living God. It's like Jesus Christ himself, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So don't listen to those who would tell you the word of God needs adding to or altering, needs changing. Needs changing to fit in with the present day worldview, with changing trends and so forth. Our real need is for that which we read of in the Acts of the Apostles to happen again. It's for the word of God to spread. That's our need. It's for the word of God in all its truth and glory to grow and to be multiplied as it did in the days of the Acts. It's for these glorious doctrines which exalt the Lord Jesus Christ and which turned the world around in the first century and have done so in many revivals since, to be fully believed and lived and proclaimed today in our day and generation. The word of God should be shaping, should be molding the church, not the world molding the church. And I tell you this, novel teachings may impress many, may have a following for a time, but they will all fade away like the morning mist. There's no substance to them. Our faith and trust must rest in the word of God, which will never, ever fade away. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So beware of those who would water down the word of his mouth or tell us they discovered something new. Take your stand with the Apostle Paul. Remember when he speaks to the Galatian saints, chapter 1, verse 8 of Galatians. And he said this to them. Remember, they were being led astray by the Judaizing element. And he says to them, even if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than what we have preached to you, let him be accursed. Let him go to hell, that means. Our calling is not to please men, as Paul goes on to say. Our calling, whether as preachers or as Christians, is to please God. And we all are bondservants like Paul of Christ, who's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's be good stewards of the word he has entrusted to us, the gospel of God. The gospel means good news. I think anybody here doesn't know that, I'd be amazed. You knew that, didn't you? Ah, good, I'm glad. Make sure. It means good news. But let me ask you, what's the good news about? Who is the same yesterday, today, and forever? It's Jesus Christ. And Jesus means Savior. We've just come through that season of the year when the church remembers the incarnation, the coming into the world of the Son of God. You remember the angel Gabriel said to Mary, Luke 1:31, "You will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus." And the significance of that name was revealed to Joseph by the angel of the Lord in a dream, when he was told, "That which is conceived in her," in Mary that is "of the Holy Spirit, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Matthew 1:21. Jesus is the one who will save his people from their sins. He's the Savior. But he's not just Jesus, he's Jesus Christ. He's God's anointed. He didn't take this work upon himself. He was appointed to it by the Father. He's the anointed one of God. And the whole of this epistle to the Hebrews testifies to that glorious fact. Indeed, the whole of the Bible testifies to that glorious fact. "Behold, I've come," he says, "in the volume of the book, Genesis to Revelation, in the volume of the book, it is written of me." Why had he come? "To do your will, O God." Hebrews 10 verse 7. "The Lord Jesus Christ came with God's anointing to fulfill his Father's will. He's the anointed of God." That's what he was when these words were written. Jesus the Savior, Christ the anointed of God, the glorious God-man, conceived of the Holy Spirit in Mary's womb, born under the law, kept the law perfectly, fulfilling his Father's will, and who said at Gethsemane, "Not my will, but thine be done." He said that as he wrestled with that awful cup. It was Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the anointed of God, who laid down his life on Calvary's cross and who shed his precious blood and who bore in his body the penalty for our sin. And it was Jesus Christ who said upon the cross, "It is finished." The work of salvation completed. And God says to us this morning, Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. He hasn't changed. He cannot change. He's the only Savior of sinners. That's good news if you're a sinner here this morning, isn't it? We're a Savior. Wonderful news. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who said from the cross, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," is still full of compassion today. He's ready to receive all who will call upon him for salvation. He who said to the dying thief, remember when the dying thief said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." He replied, "Today, today you will be with me in paradise." And he still welcomes all who come to him in repentance and faith. Oh, to be remembered this morning by Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. To be in the kingdom of him who went about doing good, we're told. But to be in the kingdom of him who healed the lame and the blind and the sick. And he says to us today, as he did to those who trusted in him when on earth, "Your sins, which are many, are all forgiven you." What a joy to be among his people. Are you among them? Young person, are you among them? Really among them? Older person, are you among them? Perhaps there's a Christian here today, a believer who's beginning to wander, to waver, to grow cold. You're not praying as you once did. You're not coming to church as you once did. What are you thinking about? What kind of madness is drawing you away from the Son of God? We need to cast ourselves on him afresh. The old hymn says, doesn't it? "None but Jesus. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good." But what good he can do for us all. at the end of this year, if we will but trust him. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a blessing is in these words. I think we all know, those of us who are Christians, we live in difficult days for the gospel. As we look around us at the inroads of the enemy in our own land, we could easily, couldn't we, at the end of this year, be discouraged and cast down? But he who said, I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Don't forget that. He who poured forth the Holy Spirit at Pentecost is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who gave new life to his people in that glorious Reformation of the 16th century, who turned over the evils of popery, is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He who answered his people's prayers. Remember young children in Wales in the 18th century? Just young children praying for revival. And the whole principality was turned right side up. They had to close the pubs. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he who is at work in many parts of the world today in reviving power may yet revive his church in this land of ours. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's seek him in 2020, should the Lord tarry. Hasn't come yet. We never know. Let's pray at home. Let's fill all those empty seats we have at the prayer meeting. If you believe God's word, come to pray to God. It could be that we have not because we ask not. He's the sovereign Lord. He's the potentate of time. He's the King of kings. And we need to pray believing. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. We don't always pray believing, you know. Spurgeon once was confronted by a young man, young preacher, who hadn't seen any conversions for some time. And Spurgeon said to him, he says, you don't expect people to be saved every time you preach, do you? No, he said. He said, well, there's the answer to your problem. We've got to be believing. We've got to pray in faith. If we're facing trials today, if we have problems, he's able to meet our every need. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. If we long to be holy, if we long to grow in grace, if the desire of our hearts is to live for him and to follow him, well, there's no change in Jesus Christ. Where are we spiritually this morning? If we're not where we should be, or what we should be, this much is absolutely certain. It is not Jesus Christ who has changed. It's us. It's us. Because Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So let's come to him then. Let's live for him. Let's glory in him. Let's praise him for his glorious past. Praise him for all that he is in the present. And let's praise him for all that he ever shall be throughout all eternity. The mighty Redeemer of his people. The Son of God. He who is to be blessed forever. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and praise his name forever. Don't wander from Christ. Don't decide not to trust in Christ. He alone is the Savior. of sinners. Let's pray together. Let's pray.